Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning? Amen. As you can see in the bulletin, we're trying a few different things. We're putting in a list there of different ministries and people to pray for and what have you. If you want someone added to the prayer list, please let us know. And if there's someone that shouldn't be there, please let us know. We will take it out, absolutely. And again, if you have any suggestions or what have you, we have open ears to that. Also, if you are new here in the last 6 months and we never get a chance to talk to you, we have a new members, new people's luncheon. That's today, and you are welcome to come. And we would love to have you. And so we'll just tell you a little bit about the ministry here and what we do here. And you can meet some of the leadership, but you are welcome to come. Also, Kayleen has a little list there that I think she would like people, if they want to sign a little note for someone that used to come to the church here. Please talk to her. It's just a note of encouragement or what have you, and she has that, so please talk to Kayleen after the service. I don't want to go into too much detail there, but let's close our eyes and bow our heads, unite our hearts in prayer here this morning. We will get started. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, thank you for a day that we can come into your house and worship you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we lift your name on high, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Lord, thank you for doing a work in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, changing us to make us more like you. Lord, help us this day to understand the word spoken, Lord. Lord, thank you for everyone involved here in the service today, those in worship and sound booth and nursery and Sunday school, and the list goes on and on. Lord, thank you for everyone and all they do in the ministries here. It does not go unnoticed, and we are truly thankful for them. Lord, we give this service to you. Lord, speak, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today we are starting our sermon series on spiritual gifts. As a pastor and a teacher and a preacher, I believe that knowing and understanding your spiritual gift personally is vitally important for the Christian, vitally important for the Christian. It is absolutely crucial for growth and godliness. Many of us have not yet found out what our spiritual gifts truly are. We don't know, we're guessing sometimes. Before I begin, I want to let you know that some of the information here in this sermon series was taken from a variety of areas that I have chosen in my spiritual life notes from Bible College. There's little bits and pieces from there. There's also little bits and pieces from books that I have personally read on spiritual gifts, some commentaries, and some Bible commentaries. So the list, like I said, goes on and on. This is going to be informative, so be ready. If you have your Bibles, please be ready to flip through the pages and get your highlighters out and get your markers and get your pencils and pens out, and please mark up your Bibles. I obviously added to this sermon series to make it more informative, personal, and applicable to you and I today. But before we begin on spiritual gifts, we need to lay a foundation. And I believe that you always hit reverse before you hit forward. And you got to kind of lay a foundation and then build up to the spiritual gifts, so to speak. So today's title of today's message is this. And if you folks don't know this, you have any questions afterwards, please come and talk to me. I would love to talk to you. If you want a copy of this sermon, I don't mind giving them out. I give them out all the time and always have. I would love to do that for you. So the title of today's message is The Natural Man, The Spiritual Man, and The Carnal Man. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he refers to three types of people: the natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. These three different names make up believe this or not, every single man, woman, and child on the face of the earth. Everyone. There's no one exempt. They are on this list. You are either one of these three people that I'm mentioning here today. You know, I was praying over this sermon series and getting started on this study, and the natural man is a man or woman that rejects or expels or inhibits the advancement of anything spiritual. He or she pushes away the Spirit of God and His work. And I'm going to read the portion of Scripture to you today and lead you to our first point. Point number one, what is the natural man? 1 Corinthians 2:14 puts it this way, the natural person or the natural man, it depends on what translation you're reading from here this morning, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You see, I remember if you hit the rewind again, and I go back to my life past when I did not know Jesus. My father came to know the Lord. He got into my car and he goes, Curtis, I want to tell you about my salvation in Jesus Christ. And I said, I do not want to hear it. I don't want to hear one word. Harvey Martel at the shipyard, another guy shortly after, came up to me and wanted to tell me about the Lord and the things of the Lord. And I said, I do not want to hear it. I do not want to hear it. I rejected it. So I rejected it, I expelled it, and I inhibited the work in my life at that moment. I know that you know people like that. You do, personally. How many times have you witnessed to that person? How many times have you told that person about Jesus Christ, and they put their hand up and they say, I do not want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about your Lord, your Savior. So the natural man has every kind of barrier in place to remain unforgiven, unregenerated, and unmoved by sin and wickedness. They do. They have everything in place. I'm going to read something to you today that is familiar and is applicable to this day and age in which we live. It was found on sermonillustrations.com, written by Edward Gibbon, the author of The Decline and the Fall of the Roman Empire. And here you go. Does this sound familiar? What I'm about to read to you? The rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. That's number one. Number two, higher and higher taxes in the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and more brutal. Number four, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. Number five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. That's today. Truly. That's today. The natural man cannot discern spiritual truth. The flesh is a built-in law of failure, making it impossible for the natural man to please and serve God. The natural man is in rebellion against God and His righteousness. The flesh can never be reformed or improved. The only hope for escape from the law of the flesh is Jesus Christ and His redemption. Period. That is the only hope for mankind, is Jesus Christ. And when we have the words of life, we need to be telling people about Jesus, who is the Redeemer of the soul. 1 Corinthians 1:18 tells us this, for the word of the cross is folly or foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The natural man believes that the cross, the Bible, what Jesus did, foolishness. Want nothing to do with it. That's foolish. The Bible tells us that. The natural man is indifferent to the gospel, opposing it, renouncing it, and in some cases even making fun of it, mocking it. The natural man is not indwelt by the Spirit of God. He is in the flesh and he walks in the flesh. He is, as 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, perishing. Perishing. And what does that mean? Well, in other words, he is going to hell for all of eternity. He is going to a place that is going to eternally separate him from his Savior and Lord and God. This mind, his mind has been blinded by Satan. And he has believed the lies of the devil, his demons, and the workers of unrighteousness. That is the natural man. 2 Corinthians 4, 3-4 backs this up when it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled," do you hear that? Veiled. "It is veiled only to those who are perishing." It's veiled to them. They're perishing. They don't see it. They don't see the truth. "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The natural man is veiled, he is blind, he is perishing, and truly the only hope for the natural man is Jesus Christ. Amen? But God is not a reality to the natural man. And we even see little glimpses and pieces of this through the Bible. And one of them people where it was not a reality, God was not a reality to him, was Pharaoh. And we see that in Exodus 5:2. It shows us Pharaoh in his heart. And I could imagine being in the room and listening to this man saying these words in one verse. And he says this, "But Pharaoh said, 'Who is God?'" In a mocking, ignorant way. Who is God? Because remember, Pharaoh thought he was God. But who is God? Who is he? "That I should obey his voice and let Israel go. I do not know the Lord." And you could hear that snarl, the way he would say that. "I do not know the Lord. And moreover, I will not let Israel go. I won't do it. I'm not listening to your God. I don't know him. Don't want to know him." Here are some giveaways and things to look for that may fool many people when dealing with the natural man or woman. Remember, when I say man, I mean man or woman, mankind. The natural man may be interested in spiritual things. Believe that or not. Spiritual things. How do I know that? Well, guess what? My wife had an entire church fooled. An entire church fooled before our salvation years ago, 25 years ago. She was going to a Baptist church, so was I. She was going to all their Bible studies and that. Cindy and I end up getting saved, gloriously saved after, and them ladies from that Bible study said, "Cindy, I thought you were saved. I could have swore you knew the Lord." She was absolutely fooled. This group was fooled. You see, they may have an interest in spiritual things. Also, number two, the natural man might have religion without a relationship. They might faithfully go to church every single Sunday and never miss. But yet, God is far from them. Number three, the natural man might even have morals without true righteousness. They might act perfectly, fool you, but God is far from them. Romans 10, 1-3 shows us this when it says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved." You hear that? Be saved. Listen to that. "I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God," a zeal for him, an excitement for him, a want for him. But then in the verse before, it says, to be saved, so they're not saved. But not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own that did not submit to God's righteousness, God was far from them. But they had that zeal for God. The natural man may have knowledge without wisdom. They may claim, I have read the Bible. How many times have you heard this? I have read the Bible from cover to cover. And yet, we know that they live sometimes even like a demon. And yet they claim that they have read the Bible cover to cover and they know it. But yet they don't act upon it because they're the natural man. The natural man might have intent without intimacy. And finally, they might have theology without truth. That is the natural man. They are lost. They are perishing. And they are heading to a Christless eternity. That is the natural man. That is people in your family, people in my family, your neighbor, my neighbor, your coworker. Could be anybody that you're talking to right now. SermonIllustrations.com was speaking about what the natural man is capable of. In October 7, 1969, in Montreal, Canada, a police force went on strike. Look this up. It's quite interesting. They went on strike. Because of what resulted, the day has been called Black Tuesday. A burglar and a policeman were slain. 49 people were wounded or injured in rioting. 9 bank holdups were committed, almost 1/10 of the total number of holdups the previous year. Robberies at gunpoint, usually disciplined, peaceful citizens joined the riffraff and went wild, smashing some 1,000 plate glass windows in a stretch of 21 business blocks in the heart of the city, hauling away stereo units, radios, TVs. Imagine carrying that. I'm going on 52. I mean, my TVs back in my days, imagine. So TVs and then wearing apparel, stolen apparel at that, while looters, stripped windows of valuable merchandise. Professional burglars entered stores by doors and made off with truckloads of goods. A smartly dressed man scampered down a street with a fur coat over each arm with no police around. Anarchy took over. Most natural men have no issue with sin, theft, and forms of depravity that you could only dream of. And that leads us to point number 2. Who is the spiritual man then? The spiritual man. Well, let's read the scriptures here first. 1 Corinthians 2:15-16 says this. The spiritual person judges all things, but he is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Perhaps the most important part of Paul's description of the spiritual man is that he or she has the mind of Christ. Do you hear that? Underline that in your Bibles. Has the mind of Christ. To have the mind of Christ doesn't mean that we are there yet, or we have arrived yet, or that we have reached a certain level of perfection, but rather it means that Christ shares with us his spiritual wisdom that enables us to see life with a heavenly perspective. We have a different view on just about everything in life. We should have. We should be viewing this life as, I'm only passing through. Cindy and I were driving yesterday. I said to her, I said, this earth is not my home. I'm only passing through. We don't lay roots anywhere. This is not my home. I'm only passing through. Truthfully, my home is in heaven, and I hope you have that heavenly perspective as well. And therefore, make decisions that are wise for both now and eternity. Here's an illustration I found on The Spiritual Life by Jay Stoll. Fan the Flame, Moody, 1986, page 32. He says this, "The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that were unique. The winner was not the runner who finished first. It was the runner who finished with his torch still lit." Jay Stoll said this, "I want to run all the way with the flame of my torch still lit for him." I want to be that guy too. I remember we had a professor in Bible school, and this is what he used to say. He used to get up and he'd teach us, godly man. And this is what he'd say. He'd sit there like this and he'd look at you and he would go, "Class, finish well. Finish well." And I'm telling you, that hit me right here. And I said, "Lord, whatever you do, help me to finish well." Let's sum up the spiritual man here this morning. The spiritual man is indwelt by the Spirit of God. That is found in 1 Corinthians 2:12. The spiritual man is in tune with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God leads, you are listening. You're in tune. Don't go there. Don't say this. Apologize for that. You name it. The Spirit of God, you're listening. Number three, the spiritual man is satisfied with Christ. He is content with Christ. Verses to back up his contentment are found in Philippians 4:11, 1 Timothy 6:6, Hebrews 13:5, and 2 Corinthians 4:7 to 18. The spiritual man is spiritually discerning. He knows and he understands good and evil. He knows and understands it. Good doctrine and bad doctrine. You can sit sometimes and you shriek. You turn on the religious station or whatever and you're like, turn that off. That's a bunch of garbage. You're only there for a couple seconds and you know it. He can even sense evil and deception in people. For some reason, God has gifted me with that. I can be in a room with someone for minutes and I know where they're going, what's going on in their life. The spiritual man is not easily understood by others. 1 Corinthians 2:15. The spiritual man is mature. Mature. They want to grow more and more, fall in love with Jesus more and more, want to know the Word of God more and more, want more fellowship. This is not enough fellowship on Sunday morning. I need more, more, more. I need more. The spiritual man is fruitful. John 15:8, Galatians 5:22 to 23. He's bearing fruit. You're seeing fruit because of his salvation. His fruit are not all shriveled up and dead. They're actually growing. There's fruit. The spiritual man is pleasing to God. His life is pleasing, and you can see it. And you know it, that that person pleases God by the way they act, the way they conduct themselves, the way they walk close to Jesus. You can see that they're pleasing the Lord. How does someone become a spiritual man or woman is a question here this morning that we might be asking. Well, first of all, to become a spiritual man or woman, you must be born again to start by the Holy Spirit of God. Where is that found? John chapter 3. Read it when you get home. But that is not all. The spiritual man is also someone who is in the Word of God, continuously growing, learning, understanding God better. They have a fruitful prayer life. They commune with God. They meditate on the Word of God. They fall in love with the Lord more every day because they are spending time with their Lord. They have fellowship with the saints or desire to have fellowship with the saints. They don't want to miss church. They don't want to miss Bible study, prayer time. They want a fellowship with the saints. And whose life is under control by God's Spirit. You will see it. When the flesh is going to want to say something nasty, dirty, whatever, the Spirit holds them back. Says, hey, shut it. Shut it. And you do. You listen. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. We are walking close to God. So God is revealing Himself to us through His work of the Spirit in us. He's revealing to us Himself more and more when we are sold out to Him. Through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, God reveals to us His deep spiritual truths. Such truths include God's plan of salvation as well as how we need to live the Christian life. To be fulfilled in our life as a believer, we need to be living the Christian life, the Christ-centered life. And now point number three, who is the carnal man? Warren Wiersbe, in his New Testament commentary, describes the carnal man as the immature Christian, the one who lives on a childhood level, because he will not feed on the word and grow. Paul said this of the carnal man in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. Verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? You don't want that to be said of you. This is not a good portion of Scripture for the Christian. If we are living a carnal life, Paul is calling this out. God is calling this out. He's saying, whoa, put the brakes on. I want you to be more like Christ. I want you to be more like the spiritual man, not the man that is carnal. And like I said, when I say man, I'm using that interchangeably, man and woman alike. So the word carnal means fleshly. When applied to a Christian, it means someone who, although they are born again, they are still allowing their flesh to control much of the way they live, talk, think, and act. They are acting on the flesh. They are acting on the desire. They are acting on the anger. They are acting on the situation. They are acting upon it. The carnal man is defeated spiritually. The carnal man is indwelt by the Spirit of God, yet not readily influenced by the Spirit of God. The carnal man is dominated by the flesh. How do we know that? Galatians 5, 16 to 17 says so. The carnal man is dissatisfied with Christ. Compare that to the spiritual man. Do you remember the spiritual man was satisfied with Christ? The carnal man is dissatisfied with Christ. He's not enough. He does not understand or appreciate the spiritual man, truthfully. The carnal man is contentious. meaning causing or likely to cause an argument, controversy, or provoking the spiritual Christian. Believe that or not. That person that just likes to stick you constantly is often the carnal man. The carnal man is jealous of others, especially the spiritual ones. The carnal man is unrealistic. And again, the carnal man is not spiritually discerning. Instead, they are worldly. He does not understand or appreciate the spiritual man. And number six, the carnal man is immature and insensitive to evil. Hebrews 5:14. They will put themselves in situations where they're just okay with it. It may be not a good situation. And it doesn't provoke them or pierce their heart and say, okay, it's time to get out of here. This is not a good area. This is not a good situation. The carnal man is not fruitful. John 15:5. The carnal man is inconsistent in his walk, in his prayer life, in his devotional life, and in his service for the Lord. Inconsistent like this. Waves of the sea. That's the carnal man. Have I seen a lot of them? Yes, countless. Countless. All over the pond. Romans 7:14 to 15 says this, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. You see, Charles Ryrie, so great a salvation from Victor Books, 1989, pages 59 to 60, said this of the carnal man and the flesh. What is carnality? According to the Greek dictionary, it means to have the nature and the characteristics of the flesh. Or more simply, it means fleshly. Fleshly. What then is the flesh, is the question. Sometimes it refers to the whole material part of man. 1 Corinthians 15:39, Hebrews 5:7. And based on this meaning, carnal sometimes relates to material things like money, Romans 15:27, or to the opposite of our weapons of spiritual warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:4. But the word flesh also has a metaphorical sense that when it refers to our disposition to sin and to oppose or omit God in our lives, the flesh is characterized by works that include lust and passion, Galatians 5:19 to 24 and 1 John 2:16. It can enslave us, Romans 7:25. And in it is nothing good, Romans 7:18. Based on this meaning of the word flesh, to be carnal means to be characterized by things that belong to the unsaved life. Ephesians 2:3. Lord, help me not to be that man. Help me not to be him. That should be our prayer, every one of us. Lord, I want to be the spiritual man. Paul called the believers at Corinth carnal because they were still acting in spiritual immaturity. They were immature. Rather than bearing the fruits of love, joy, and peace, their believers were yielding to the old fleshly emotions such as envy, strife, and division. Often when that comes in the church, you will see someone is not fully sold out to the Lord. Still have things in their life they need to work on, truthfully. God is still working on them. Notice what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:3b, the second part of that verse. Are you not of the flesh and not behaving only in a human way? A natural man way, an unsaved way, an unregenerated way. That is what this is saying. Or are you not living like a man who do or a man or woman who does not even know the Lord? Let this never be said of us, ever. That is our challenge here today. Lord, make me like the spiritual man. Make me more like Jesus. To finish today, only God knows for sure whether a carnal man is born again or not, truthfully. Rather than judging other men and women, you and I should be judging ourselves first. Where do we land in these three categories? Where do we land? Are we natural? Are we spiritual? Or are we carnal? Which one are we? That should be our question here today. You see, though we may not be doing some of the things others might do, are there things in our lives that are displeasing to the Lord? Is there a carnality to our Christianity? Is there a carnality to our Christianity that needs correcting, that needs to be cleaned up? It is God's will that every believer live not as the carnal man, but rather as the spiritual man. Here's a little contrast for you here this morning. The natural man, faith in Christ, saved man, right? Saved man. The carnal man, fellowship with the Spirit, spiritual man. You see, salvation is a work in progress. Amen? Sanctification, right? Becoming more like Jesus every single day. That's his desire for us to be more like him. If we're natural, get saved. If you're spiritual, hallelujah. If you're carnal, this is the part you need. Fellowship with the Spirit. You need to change your ways. Seek the Lord. Get into the Word of God, prayer, church, fellowship with the saints. You need to get into all them things that are going to help you to grow. That vine is going to be rooted in the Lord and is going to produce fruit of righteousness and holiness. That is God's desire for you and me alike. There's going to be some elders coming to the front here to pray for you. If you need prayer over any of these areas in your life, if you're the natural man and you need Jesus Christ today, my question to you is this. What is stopping you from getting saved? What is stopping you from trusting in Jesus Christ today? What is stopping you? Because today is the day of salvation. The spiritual man, hallelujah, keep burning it up for Jesus. Amen? Keep on fire. Keep the fire lit. Keep going for Christ. And if you today are the carnal man, it's time to repent. Repent. Change your ways. Fall back in love with Jesus. Notice that you are the carnal man and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be more like the spiritual man. Bring them spiritual people into my life and help me to grow and become more like Jesus. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the work you're doing in our lives, Lord. Oh, Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you, I pray that they would call out to you, Lord Jesus, and ask you to save their souls, to save them from their sins. Lord, for those who are spiritual, hallelujah, and thank you for them, Lord. Keep them growing in your grace and your goodness and your love and your knowledge and your wisdom, Lord. Keep them on fire for Jesus. And for the carnal, Lord, help them to understand that they are carnal and they need to repent and they need to change their ways and they need to fall in love with you, Jesus, and grow and flourish and bear fruit. Lord, do a work in our lives. Lord, before we see revival, before we see revival in this place, revival starts in the pew. It starts in the person. It starts in each and every one of us. And then it goes out from here. Lord, do a work in our lives. We love you, Jesus. This church is yours. This body of believers, they're yours, Lord. Do a work in their lives, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.